I am unashamed. What about you?
So this is Jace. We've done 4 podcasts, and we haven't talked about the LSU football game from last Saturday. We talk about LSU football a lot last year, so I feel like we have to address it.
You got to remember this.
It's something that has to be addressed.
No matter what happens this year, you can say to yourself, yeah, but we were national champions last year. Can't take that away.
I'm still in the glow, I have to admit it. I had low expectations, and they were met. We lost all of our best players.
I have the Holy Spirit in me, so I have no reason to make this up. But since it's in my house here in Louisiana, it's just me and the dogs. I'm on the way to visit my wife. And we were play-by-play during the game. She was like, I mean, are you watching this? Can you believe this? And I was like, yep.
Yeah.
Because when I heard this, you got to realize we lost, 14 underclassmen to the NFL? Mm-hmm. 14.
And 20 overall.
Well, and you got your seniors. They left. Then you got 3 who, because of the coronavirus.
By the way, you said that fast, but you just said 20 people that were on that team are in the NFL.
And let's just say if anybody.
That's how good we were.
If anybody's been watching, one of my best friends outside of my family who lives in Missouri, who's a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan, I said, you're welcome. That was my text. And he said, did I miss something? I said, you have a back from LSU. His name is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You're welcome. Well, last night, you know, they were on Monday night, and he said, you were right about that guy. And I was like, oh, dude.
He was really kind of the most underrated part of the puzzle last year. You know, everybody talked about
Burrow. Did the Chiefs win last night?
Oh, yeah. It was comical.
Now with him and Mahomes, they may win. Who knows how many they may win?
I mean, man, amazing. You know, I've got to where now, because of all the controversy over all that, and there's no crowds there, I watch the game with no sound. It's kind of cool. So try that. That'll help you.
Something about the fake yay.
Yeah, I can't.
Or the cardboard cutouts.
Well, I'm a pretty good dupe for a lot of stuff, but there's something about fake crowd noise that I'm thinking, wait a minute here.
Well, let's cut to the side.
They're messing with our mind. I said, I don't like
look,
that.
Let's cut down to the side reporter who's by herself. Nobody's here to hear the latest on what we're protesting.
They're like a Donald Trump rally. They get the cameras where all you can see is a little edge of the sideline, but they very seldom pick it up, and it's an empty house.
Right.
That's kind of like they do Trump. You know, they won't show the crowd. You know,
they want to fool you. You're right. But you know, it took me back to the old laugh tracks. Remember on the old comedies when they were people are laughing, but it was all just in a can.
And we all know that. I felt so cheated at that. But what I was going to say was, despite all those, and then losing 3 guys, he just said we're sitting out this year. Then our number
3 of our best guys.
Our number
the fake crowd noise. You'll think you're there.
Hollywood. So our number one player, our best player, Stingley.
Yep.
He's a defensive
Which
back.
Which boy do we need him?
Who
with
a
that.
Couple people picked as a preseason candidate for the Heisman Trophy. Well,
arguably the best cornerback in America.
He gets sick, and our starting defensive tackle.
What
Dan
happened
Logan.
To Stingley?
Well,
he got sick.
Yeah, he got sick the night before the game against the number one offensive pass coach, because he had never coached a game for Mississippi State,
right.
Mike Leach, the mastermind of air raid.
And look, he showed how brilliant he was.
And
I mean,
so I'm like,
look out for them.
We've got people playing, you know, and I'm sure they'll be fine. We had one transfer that was playing for some McNeese or last year. It may not have been McNeese, some other school. And we got freshmen out there. Well, of course, what do you think is going to happen during the course of a game?
And the difference was last year you could give up 44 points and win, but you just don't have the offense. So you know, Zach, of course, set in for me last week, which, by the way, some of you have asked about that. Zach, I have events that have now or still having them. All, most of them been pushed. So I have to travel some. So Zach comes and sits in my chair. That's why he's here. Some of you are like, why do you have Zach? He's not as good as you. I was like, well, I know that, but you know, we're working him in, you know, yeah. Give him a break. You know,
Zach, I told Zach once we got him over the,
With a high voice on the commercials.
Well, yeah, he would turn into, you know, this soap is long lasting, and I was like,
he was a little too animated for his cousin.
Well, because I was like, Zach, I know you. What
tone
happened?
Down.
Not something broke out at it, you know. So once we got past that, but Zach is probably smarter than all of us.
Zach's
combined.
Sharp.
So he's a color commentator.
Well, Jay said it right. We would, but the way this works is Zach and I own our production company that produces this podcast, and so you guys are, you know, you're the talent. I'm just the producer who happens to be here, and Zach is too. If we had Zach in the fourth chair, I mean, that would be great because he has a very analytical way of approach. But here was where I was
talent.
Going.
Talent. I've never thought of myself.
Well, it's a Hollywood term. Al broke down what wall do
the
they call
wall.
It? The fourth wall and
because
told
I'm
y'all
a producer.
How this works.
I'm a C-plus average man. I'm getting on up in years. You say talent? Nah.
Now, well, when people pay you to be on television or on now in the digital world, then you are
they
considered
call it,
the
they
talent.
Call you talent.
You
it's
talent.
It's a phrase.
That's exactly right. And Jace is too.
So, well, that's how they label you. But I'm with Phil. We don't. We're just normal.
We're just guys.
People.
So yeah, that was a little lingo, inside lingo. So Zach leaves here after the podcast that he did last week, and he took his family on like a 2-week journey out west. You know, see all the state parks and all that stuff. They homeschool, so which is really cool. If you homeschool, you get to go see some of this stuff instead of just learning about it in the classrooms. I love the concept. So he calls me to talk about business, and he's like, and I knew, you know, because I know him so well, because he's a Florida Gator fan, and which they're pretty good this year. So I knew he was going to like, I thought. So he calls me. He said, hey, we're out here. You know, we don't have any coverage of anything. How did LSU play, you know, Saturday? So he was trying to get me to react, you know. Yeah. But I was like, oh, yeah, they got beat. They look bad. You know, but this Mississippi State's really good. So I just, like, played it off like he really didn't see the game. He said, what about Florida? Did they play? I said, oh, yeah, I saw a little bit of that game. They looked really good. I said, I think, you probably got a pretty good shot this year, the quarterback. Yeah, I'm just like totally. And then he's like, so he pauses, and I hear Max say something in the background. And then he starts laughing. He said, we saw the game. I just wanted to hear what you had to say about it. And I said, well, I told you.
Yeah,
so totally fell flat.
Bitterness over last year's close game, but
it was close.
No prize.
Yeah, Florida's
on our way to one of the greatest national champion.
I think it may be a kind of a long year, Jace.
But it's good. Look, it's good because here's what happens: the guys you're recruiting realize, I see opportunity here. That's what they're thinking.
Right.
You're also now. Okay, the national championship, it just went out the window because we're only playing 10 games. I mean, now it's so stacked against
you. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. So let's play the young guys. It's basically a process, which is how the national championship run started a couple years before the national champ. Same deal. We got beat by who was it? Somebody I never heard of.
Yeah.
And that was the Troy.
Yeah.
And that was what we needed for everybody to take a deep breath and say, you know what? You don't – just because you got – you know, you won it last year, that means nothing. That's you got to start all over.
Same thing with Saban.
I'll enjoy it.
Saban went to Alabama, got beat by ULM his first year there. And everybody's like, oh.
I noticed something
ULM.
About this.
ULM.
I noticed something about this Saban, though, that's different than most of them. Saban and the level – at which Alabama plays is ever since he got embedded in there.
Oh, yeah.
They're
yeah.
always up here.
Yeah.
Well, they're a bone to be chewed. I don't care. I don't care how many they lost. If they won the championship, they didn't quite win it. I mean, he's
well, that's
up
because
there.
He's one of the – he's, if not, I guess he's the best recruiter.
I mean, you got to give the man credit. I mean,
I'm with Al. I mean, he does have a track record. However, if you get the best players – out of year high school in and year every out. Year. You know what?
I wasn't thinking of how he's doing it.
That's just, how he's doing it.
I'm just saying he's doing it.
Oh, sorry. Well, he's the Bill Belichick of the college level. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
And Coach O, look, has had great recruiting play.
Yeah, Coach O is great. I mean, yes, exactly right. And we're going to be good again. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's just, and it's funny because Saban gets a lot of his best players out of Louisiana. That time he spent at LSU and those relationships he made, trust me, that's a pipeline to Alabama because every good one we lose goes there. You know what I'm saying? And so that's how he's really good. So, but yeah, it's, you know, by the way, I know y'all already argued about this, so I don't want to rekindle the argument, but I did want to tell the audience that, so I'm not watching the NFL this year. I've made a decision. I can't take it because of the other stuff.
I don't want to go through
this. We're not going to argue about it. And look, but I'm not making a, I don't say anything about Twitter on it. I'm not trying to boycott. It's just a personal thing for me. I don't blame anybody else who wants to watch the NFL. I mean, I miss it. There's no doubt the games and all that. But I just thought I was going to try it for 1 year and see.
Well, that's why I said I was watching it without the sound.
I like that.
Yeah.
Now, that might, that's
and
a,
I,
that's
and
a
I
good
only
monitor.
Turn it on when it starts. I just want to watch the game.
Right.
I've been watching a little bit of it, but I just don't feel real good about it.
I don't either.
Yeah,
I just don't.
Yeah, well, with the
I don't know exactly with between it all and people not kneeling, but you know, I do, when we visited Omaha Beach.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No,
I said the last thing I will ever do is disrespect the flag that those guys were flying.
I agree.
When they hit that beach,
I don't like it.
I don't care what anybody said. I said, man, that's a lot of bloodshed.
Vehemently opposed to it. Yeah. So I'm just, I'm trying to justify it by just watching the actual game.
Well, and then with the, as you said, like one of the things I noticed about the LSU game is, you know, for LSU, especially this year when we're kind of, we didn't have all our bullets. I mean, the crowd makes a huge difference.
Yeah, no
like
doubt.
For LSU, it's like a component of the game. I mean, everybody says it goes to an LSU game. I mean, there's not many places like it. They're so rabid and so into the game. And when you took out three quarters of that crowd, I just thought about it in moments they might could have rallied, you know, the kids rallied to the crowd, and you just, it's gone. You know, and I realize there's nothing you can do about it, but I'm just saying that's a whole missing component. It was just, I thought some of the times when, especially we'd get behind us, thought, man, normally that crowd would just be energizing.
Oh, yeah.
But they were doing the best they could, but that's 25,000 can't sound like 100,000.
Home field advantage is home field advantage. So it's kind of neutralized.
It's neutralized all of it. Yeah. I wondered about that with the baseball playoffs coming up. If, you know, a home field usually makes a difference because, you know, for especially playoff games because they're real intense. But
they're
now,
still playing Major League Baseball? I didn't even know.
Yeah, 60-game season, playoff start. But like half the league is in the playoffs, so, you know. I mean, it's kind of like, what was the point of all that?
Going back to Little League here.
We are. Half the Major League Baseball is in the playoffs.
You get a participation trophy for just playing.
Let's take a break. So we got a lot of guys that watch and listen to our podcast. So I know that they've heard us talk about our friends at Keeps, keeps.com. And basically, if you start losing your hair, especially younger, and this happens a lot, man, you're like, can I do anything about it? I don't want to lose all my hair. Now, some people just go the Mr. Clean with the goatee. That's a look, you know, like brother-in-law Tony.
I'm always nervous when a guy shows up duck hunting, clean shaven. And clean shaven.
The full, that's a lot to cover up.
Like, this is going to flare
up. It's going to take a lot of camo. Well, so if that's your issue, then you need to check these guys out at Keeps. Because basically you go online, you answer some questionnaire things with them, and then they're just going to ship it straight to you. So you don't have to go to the doctor, no pharmacy, all these other things, straight to your house. It's Keeps, KEEPS.com/door. You're going to get 50% off your first order, which is great. Keeps.com/door. So today we're going to get back into the book of John, which I have thoroughly enjoyed, and we're preaching through it too at Whites Ferry Road. So, and we're sort of in the general area. We're a little bit ahead on the podcast, but it's really, I've learned so much, and I think it's, we started with this time at Jace that it's a great book to focus on Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And which is why it's been so good preaching, too.
It's my invitation. I mean, I'm writing a book on this book while we're doing this, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. because
I knew y'all writing a book, but I didn't know what it was about.
Well, it's because I thought, well, if I'm putting all this time in it and meditating on it, and it is my invitation, because when I go to places and do events, people that have come to my event, they know I don't do an altar call. I don't do an invitation at that moment, which would be okay to do, right. And I want people to come to Jesus.
Sure.
But I'm like, go home, because that's where we need you to give your life to Jesus, at your workplace, at your home, in your real life. Not necessarily just at the church building, so you can then kind of play this game for an hour a week. Go home, read the book of John, and form an opinion on Jesus. And if it's one that you fall in love with him, I guarantee your life will change for the better. So that's my invitation,
yeah.
Which will be the invitation of the book, which is really what our podcast is
about.
It's
funny you said that, because I had an idea. I've never told y'all, so I'm just fixing to do it on the podcast, that when we finished John, I wanted us to do the book of Romans, because I wanted us to do a book in the New Testament after the gospel. But I want to do Romans, and then I want to write a book on Romans and mm-hmm. call it Unashamed, you know, just because that starts the whole idea. Because I feel like in Romans, Paul comes back to this whole idea, and he's explaining it to a Gentile audience,
yeah.
exactly what we've been studying and how you do that. So it's almost a repeat, but then through another prism, which there's some good, really good
as
stuff.
As long as we focus on Jesus, I got it. I think a lot of people go from Acts to Revelation, and they forget Jesus.
Yeah,
it's then about the audience, which is the church.
That's right.
But if the body is not focused on the head, you're running around, you've been decapitated.
Yep.
What happens is the people who have already heard the gospel and obeyed it, Jesus died for their sins, he became flesh, died for their sins, was buried and raised from the dead, they tend to, after a few years goes by, when what that is preached, they tend to say, but Phil, we already know that. Tell us something we don't know, which is a trap.
Yeah.
So you remind them, so you already know it, so you don't want me to repeat it. But the people sitting to your left and your right and behind you who are here today, who are visiting, they don't know it.
Right.
You have to keep that at the... Everything is built around the gospel. Everything.
Right. Well, you take it for granted.
It for granted.
It's just like,
I already know that. Show me something. This. I want some deeper truths of the Bible. I said, your sins are removed. You've been freed from Satan, sin, guilt, law, and the grave. You don't need to dig any deeper than that. You're there.
Well, when you take something for granted.
Tell others.
I agree.
When you take something for granted, you start doing stupid things. I know this is going to be a crazy illustration, but I just got to thinking about this. That same point you're saying, where Jesus becomes so familiar that it's almost like the newness of it wears off, and you got to think there's got to be something more. I mean, I got this, which is impossible, because you get it every day. You literally become Jesus. That's why you're constantly meditating on red letters, because you become Jesus on the earth through his spirit and through his example.
Mm-hmm.
But I was pumping gas a couple of days ago, and I'm like, you know, you pull in there because you have to have it. So, which is why this craze for electric vehicles has taken hold, because people are like, is it possible that one day we don't have to use oil? You think about all the problems. So here's my point. It's become so familiar. When you actually read the little, now they have the little, through modern technology, you go through a system. So you get there, you push a couple buttons, it says slide the card. You slide the card, but then it says, and you got to put your zip code in.
Yep.
So that's to keep from, okay, so maybe if somebody stole your credit card, they wouldn't know what zip code. I'm pretty sure they'll figure that out. But anyway, they got that in there,
it's
which I don't
measure.
Think that's going to deter anything, but it might one out of a million. So then it says, when you pull it out, it says it takes a few seconds, and you're sitting there waiting. You're waiting here, and it says card approved. Why did you have to tell me that? Why not just approve it? Now, if it's not approved, guess what it says? Please see attendant. I went through that in my life.
Oh, yeah.
So what's going to happen there? Look, what's the practical thing? Just think about that. And what I'm saying is we take it for granted. They take it for granted that you need it. So they put a bunch of stupid messaging on here. Because all that's telling you is card approved. Are you saying, yes, maybe. I've done that before when it was closed.
I've been at restaurants before in the past, and, man, I was just hoping when they came back, we had a ticket.
But do we have to – look, do we have to stop and acknowledge and tell me that? Because, look, if I take it to the attendant, what do? Well, now it's got awkward because they're like, it's not approved. So it's now you have to be confronted that you have no money. And so you say, no, there's money in the account. What are they going to say? Oh, I'm sorry, go run it again. No, they're not. They're going to say, hey,
yeah,
you got some cash?
Or another card?
That's not going to accomplish anything. So we have some kind of fake acknowledgement or a confrontation that's leading to nowhere.
Yep.
And I thought, why am I going through this? All this is doing is wasting time. Just give me the gas. Why do I have to go through this 5 minutes? Because if you tally it up in a lifespan, you've wasted weeks staring at
you
this.
You need to get your people to contact my people, and they'll have someone other than you to go up and get gas for your truck.
That always goes back to the butler.
Everybody needs a butler. Connection, though, where if you have to have something, you then take for granted the process, and nobody's spending any time. Go have a meeting with, Bob and Elaine and make this functional. Make it a bridge to somewhere. Because now they're like, well, they got to have it. So just put on their card approved. They'll feel good about that. And if they don't, tell them, please see the attendant. Well, where's that going? Nowhere.
Jace, you're longing for the old days when you pulled up and gas was 23 cents a gallon.
And some guy pumped it for you.
When I was in high school. Yeah, some dude walked out there, well, what you want? And he'd say, give me about a dollar's worth.
He's smoking.
You said a dollar, well, that's four gallons.
Smoking
so you literally would reach in your billfold and get a dollar's worth of gas, and you could go a long way. I mean, 23 cents a gallon. You give him a dollar.
I'm thinking about
some guy does it. Yeah. He wipe your windshield off, and then we drive on down the road. But those days are long behind.
I'm thinking about joining this electric car movement because I'm upset about what happens at that doggone pump. Now, do y'all think I'm crazy?
Yes, I do. Because, no, I've done gas my whole life and never even thought about what you just said. I mean, I can't argue with what you said, but
well, why Jace do they
thinks about stuff I've never
you,
even.
Why are you telling me?
I do it
me?
Twice. I do it double because for whatever reason, my wife will do anything. She hates to pump gas.
I know why. I just
probably that. Maybe so. So I do it twice. I do it for her car.
I'm sitting there waiting, and you're saying card approved. Okay.
I was going to ask you, and you already said, when's the last time you pumped gas into your truck? Do you even remember?
Don't do it, Phil. Don't. It's frustrating.
Of course, right outside here, you've got a big tank that's got how many gallons of gas in it?
About 1,000.
So, I mean.
Well, whoever you all guys, if somebody's listening to it, can we not fix that? Can we not just look at what we're presenting and
somehow
say, wait a minute?
By the way, Corey bought a Tesla. She bought an electric car. I'm curious. Of course, one of them comes by. I was in some city. I went to step out, and you don't hear them coming.
Really?
Oh, it just, all of a sudden, it was just, shoom. I mean, that thing went by
I'm waiting for the truck.
No sound.
How long do you get off the battery?
I don't know. That's why I got to ask her.
What do you do?
Well, they're working.
You got to just plug it into an outlet to charge it.
Well, and they're talking about having these rigs that run off hydrogen. And so instead of oil stations, you got hydrogen. But still, I want to talk to the people who set up the system on what we're doing to pay for it.
Right.
Now we're going to go electric first. I'm just saying they're trying to get off the oil.
Well, then get it profitable. I mean, like where people can afford it. Right now, they're about 100 grand for one of them minimum.
Huh.
So the problem is the price. I mean, that's why you got to have some money to even do one.
Obviously. But I think they'll correct that.
They do have hybrid cars that have electric and gas. So you can run it on electric because it doesn't solve your problem. But and if you run out of electricity, then the gas kicks in. So they call those hybrid
cars. I apologize. I was just saying. I just feel like with familiarity, when I'm getting back to the point, we become so familiar with things, we just digest it and we take
I forgot. That was your illustration. That 10 minutes was your illustration about taking for granted.
I apologize. I just get so frustrated.
Tangents.
Because I'm like, you've got me here. I got to get, you know, we got to move. I'm going out of town today. I got to fill up. And I'm just looking at this thinking, well, none of this makes sense.
So, okay, podcast listeners, solve that problem for Jace. Let's take another break. So one of the things that we talk a lot about is home security on our podcast. We kind of have always been our own home security system because we live way out in the woods. But since Jace and I moved to town, Dad, we realized that really cameras are very effective.
People are scared to be caught on camera.
They are. I mean, it is.
The rednecks stayed off of me once they got out there and looked at that. These cameras pointing in every direction.
That's exactly right.
The theft, the gas stealing, the this and that and other, the tools leaving, it all disappeared.
It is a huge deterrent. So we've got a great sponsor, Simply Safe, and it is very simple. Comes to you. You don't have to have somebody put technicians and all this thing. You can do it all yourself in under an hour. Basically, peel and stick sensors. It's $15 a month, which is very affordable. So if you need a home security system, check these guys out, simplysafe.com/unashamed. You're going to get a free HD camera just for being an Unashamed listener. So that's cool. simplysafe.com/unashamed. All right, so back to John 14, which you guys talked about. It's funny, as a preacher, like, I missed those episodes that Zach did, and I was glad he did them so I could travel, but I thought, oh, man. Because I love this text so much. You know, it's like I'm going to miss out on talking about it.
Well, that's why Zach wanted to be here. He said John 14 through 17 is his favorite section.
Mine too. It is so rich. And I think it's because, and you said this, I think, Jason, on the last podcast, I think it's because Jesus gets super personal during this section with the disciples. Like, up to now, he's been telling the parables and kind of chiding them for not following along. And, you know, and they're just like kind of, what's he talking about? But he gets to hear, and it's like, okay, boys, this is about to happen. There's big things are a week away. I mean, we're there.
He's showing you, in my humble opinion, that this whole thing about there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. True. You're not under law. You're under grace. But Jesus is showing right here, there is a required lifestyle. It's a required lifestyle. Mm-hmm. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, you say you were not earning it. No, you already have it. He gives it to you. It's free. You'll know the truth. It'll set you free. So you're free in Jesus, and he's there 24/7 to mediate. When you make a mistake, he's not counting it against you. Because your life, it's a walk, walking in the light, being like Jesus, obeying what he says. Because John, in that 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, will come to him, will make a home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So, right there, he's telling you, there is a requirement. And the requirement is, you better love Jesus and do what he says.
Right.
I mean, it's but sometimes that gets a little lost. There's nothing you can do. So I'm just going to float through life, and no one ever knows. My lifestyle is, it's kind of like a secretive, you know, hold up somewhere, and you're not looking outward. I mean, and so John, the one who wrote the Gospel of John, in 1 John, I say everybody who reads the book of John, like Jace recommends, while you're at it, just read 1 John, three little books at the back of the Bible, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Read 1 John.
Yeah, they're great.
Because he really goes back into the meat of this matter here that we're reading in John 14.
And he just applies it to then the people that he's leading.
That's right.
You know, as an older man that understood that.
You know, this is how we know in 1 John 3, based on 1 John 14, 23 and following, well, then you turn over to 1 John, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Well, now, he's fixed to just say, well, boy, this is fixed to be profound. Anyone who does not do what is right, required lifestyle,
right,
as a pattern, is not a child of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother. So getting up in the morning and doing what's right and loving your brother is not asking too much of a human being.
That's right.
Just do what's right, and you love your brother. You're like, and Jesus is saying through John the apostle, you need to be that way.
Yeah.
All the time.
And the only way it's possible, he starts that in, back in verse 15 of John 14. He starts that by saying, 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, okay, the Spirit of truth.
You've got help.
He, that's right.
You're not doing it on your own.
He's letting them know, look, I'm not going to be here physically with you. So he just told him back at the first of the chapter. Then he says, but I'm going to give you something better.
Yep.
Because my spirit literally is going to live inside you.
Great help.
That allows you the possibility because we can't do it on our own. I mean, that's proven before we ever accept Christ.
Basically, you have cosmic help.
That's right.
You have incredible help.
Yep.
I mean, the power of the spirit in a man's life, you say, you can do this.
Well, think about the words you use to describe the spirit. This section,
counselor,
guide, we're going to get to later in 16. I mean, the idea is that, you know, when you're doing it, because like if you go to a counselor, you go to a counselor for guidance. You're saying, look, I got a problem, or me and my wife got a problem. We want to do better. We're not sure exactly what we need to do. Here's our problem. Mm-hmm. And the counselor says, okay, let me guide you. But the counselor can't fix you. I've counseled with so many couples, and after about three times, I said, guys, I'm done. Y'all don't have to go see somebody else. And they're like, well, what are you talking about? I said, I can't guide you because you're not being willing to be guided. Yeah. I'm working harder than you are.
Yeah, to get back to my gas illustration, you pull up to this tank. Look, you pull up there.
You're still working
back on it.
Look, it's free. It's free. You got free gas here. I'll supply the power. You need this. There's none of these mind games. You know, your card is a pre. Who cares? It's free. I did it. But then you got two choices, and you say, you know what? I'm going to put diesel in this thing, even though it takes gas. Well, guess what?
Broke down.
That's not going to work. And I think that's how this goes. He's, you know, in John 3, when John the Baptist, he made a famous quote, I think. He said, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit, which I'm glad you brought that up. And he now addresses, for the first time in detail in John 14 through 17, the motivation of all this, which is love, both ways. He's like, all of a sudden he starts getting personal, starts talking about love. And so he's like, I won't leave you alone, I won't leave you as orphans because I love you. He gets to 15, I'll lay down my life. You're not servants, you're friends. Here's the creator of the universe calling fellow man friends. So I think it's an introduction of love, but it's also, I'm going to give you help with the counselor, the spirit, because I think a lot of people are like, well, I just don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm good enough. Think of all the excuses why people don't come to Jesus. What do they say? I got to get fixed first.
Yep.
Or
I got to get better. Yeah, I got to get my life straightened out. Those are the phrases.
Well, they'll say, I got to get back in church.
I got to get back in church.
What does that mean?
I need to read the Bible more.
The Bible more.
You know, I got to pray more.
Yeah, if I pray more, then maybe I'll get there.
All of them are things.
Great text right here to expand on what Jace said. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, patience. These things are coming out of a human being because of Jesus and what John said in John 14. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, that's Jesus. Gentleness, Jesus. Self-control, Jesus. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And then here's the way he words it when Jesus said, I'm giving you some help, the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You're like, we live by the Spirit, and we're keeping in step with Him. He's in us to guide us, teach us, open our heart. You say, but you got to be willing to allow that to happen.
You got to follow. Step by step. Let's take another. So, Jace, one of our favorite sponsors is Helix Sleep. Mm-hmm. They make a really, really good mattress. And you found out first, and then you got like four or five of them.
I got them. Well, the Lord blessed me with two houses here, and so I had to furnish with the Helix Sleep.
So. And they were so impressed with them, and so were we, that when you decided you wanted to put them in the other house, that's where you went to. You went online, took the quiz, which basically they tell you, you know, that's where you figure out the
how
firmness
you sleep,
and how you sleep.
Yeah, and what you like. And yeah, so I have no complaints.
I like them too. Here's what you do if you want to check these guys out. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights. You know, that's a third of a year, risk-free. HelixSleep.com/unashamed. They're going to give you $200 off all orders and two free pillows just because you're unashamed audience, so that's pretty awesome. HelixSleep.com/unashamed. Check them out. Yeah, that's the whole idea. That's why you see words like guide, teacher. He will teach you peace.
That's right.
He says peace he will give you.
That's
right. That's all that fruit
that
you talk
about.
Well,
it's what you put in. That's why I was making the gas and the diesel analogy.
So, by the way, your gas illustration, you just solved my mystery that I've had for 36 years. What's on that? Why Lisa doesn't like to pump gas. When you said it a minute ago, it struck in my mind. But here's why. The night we got married, mm-hmm. You remember? You were 15 years old. I was 19.
Those were turbulent years, Al. Vaguely.
So Lisa was living with us because, you know, when she told her mom and dad we were getting married, they weren't happy about it. So she moved in with the Robertsons. We only were engaged for 1 week. I said, let's get married next Friday.
I noticed that none of the people who were the parents of the women the Robertson boys married, no one was happy with their daughters marrying the Robertson bunch.
You're right.
One was happy. They didn't want Will to marry Corey. They didn't want you to marry your woman. They didn't want Jace to Al to get married.
They basically kicked Lisa out over it.
Everybody said, don't marry that bunch.
And we're all still married. And we're all friends now. I mean, of course,
you know what's weird is the only time Willie has ever come to my house, which is this is weird, is when her parents said no, absolutely not, like about getting married.
Yeah.
And he pulled up in my yard. I mean, unannounced, like
to see you.
Yeah, without saying, hey, let's get together and eat or whatever. He just showed up. I mean, because they were hot, and they come in there and was like, I mean, what are y'all? What do y'all think? I think that's ridiculous. The wedding's going on.
Of course, this was commercial fishing years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So at that time,
there was no TV show. There was no duck call
that's
sales.
Cut to the chase. There was no money.
So we had an old white.
There's a label for that, Jay. They didn't want their daughters marrying poor white trash.
You know what
I'm saying?
No, I think they came and said, please see the attendant.
And then there's a confrontation. So here's what happened. We had an old Ford white LTD. Now, this is 1984, and that was about a 76 Ford LTD that you and Mom had.
Yep.
And so Lisa had been driving. She was working, so she's driving it back and forth to work. She ran out of gas. I mean, it was out of gas. It's sitting there in the thing. So she and Paul, your dad, my grandpa, they went out there and got a can and poured what they thought was gas.
Here we go.
Into the white Ford LTD. This is the day we're getting married. Well,
it was diesel.
It was kerosene.
Kerosene.
Oh, wow.
Which is even worse.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I remember the fumes coming out, the cloud that was coming out of the thing.
Oh, and it ran?
So a bunch of everybody loads up in that car, and because we're piled in there like poor white trash, and we're going to my wedding, you know, because we're going over to the preacher's house.
And we're riding on kerosene.
Riding on the kerosene. Well, we made it to about Lee Anning Road where you turn there, and all of a sudden black smoke's boiling out. You're gone selling duck calls in your truck. And so we pulled it off right there. That's the end of the line
so for not only
the trip, but for the car. the engine is gone.
It's, oh, really?
Yeah. So we're all in the car. We're like, well, that's probably about a 5 mile walk. It's a 2 mile walk back to the house. I mean, I'm getting married in about 2 hours. So we're like all kind of scratching our head. What do we do? So here comes Paul, my grandpa, in his little Ford Fiesta.
Oh, yeah.
Which was like a
two-seater.
It had a back seat, but it looks like a gas can is what you could hear the gas sloshing in the tank. You remember that? So he pulls over and said, well, that's our ride. So we got about 10 people in a car that really doesn't hold four comfortably.
that thing was tiny. Google Ford Fiesta. What year was that?
80. The and car he bought in 1980.
And you wonder why the parents of the,
I just
of
proved the
of,
point.
Of the girl, they're like,
you know,
no.
They were actually, they had a point. I'm just now seeing it for the first time.
So we pull up and start piling out of there, you know, the whole Robertson clan, minus Dad. He was on a duck call trip, which I didn't care. I mean, it's like,
he missed your wedding.
He missed the wedding. But it was from 1 week to the next. Like I said, this Friday, I was like, you want to get married next Friday, you know? And she said, yes. And so we did. Because we were trying to like stay pure this go around, which we did.
I just about am in a category where I missed everybody's wedding.
You went to Jason's.
You were at my wedding.
Yeah, well,
I appreciate it. I feel
no,
special.
You gave away both of my daughters in their weddings.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, because I did.
You've gotten better.
So my point, this was a Jason rant. So my point was she doesn't like to put gas in the tank. She had that bad experience, see? Yeah. Now, she wasn't with us. She came with her folks. But she caused us almost to miss the wedding. And that's why she doesn't like to pump gas. I don't think she realizes that, but it's a mental barrier that goes back to that. And you cleared it up with that illustration.
Now that you've said it, I mean, the last conversation I had with my wife, went, you know, face to face, she didn't have enough gas in the. I mean, I fill it up. I don't just go get $10 or whatever, but she had got, that's what she did. And I was like,
why?
Why get 10? Now you're there. Then
you went through the whole process.
I said, now you're having to go through that more if you don't fill up. And she, of course, she didn't understand what I was talking about. And she looked at me and she said, trust me, I will never run out of gas. And I was taken aback by her, you know, fire coming out of her eye. And she's like, you don't remember the time I did? I was like, well, yeah, I remember she ran out of gas one time. She said, and the tongue lashing that you gave me. And she said, all the way home, I thought, I will never let this happen again.
So now you made her almost vitriolic about it.
I was like, babe, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was. She said, oh, it was horrible. Why would a person?
I mean, where do you get that? Why would a man do
I mean, I'm sure I came on too strong, obviously. But I said, well, did I have to push the car? She was like, oh, yeah. I was like, well, that's why I was mad, babe. It was embarrassing. I was out there pushing the car in front of people.
Let's take a last break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Well, I will say that I've never run out of gas and the reason why is because when it starts getting low, I fill it up. I don't wait. I don't put a little amount. Like when the light dings, I go find a gas station.
Yeah, I ran out once. And the light dinged, and I looked at the number.
Yeah, because they gave you a number on there.
Gave me a number. Guess what? That number's a lie. Because I went about half the number, and it I ran out of gas.
I almost ran out just 2 weeks ago, but this is what happened. See, my kids borrowed my truck, and they drove around moving stuff, whatever. And so I get in it, turn it on, the light dings, but it was down to 15 miles on the thing. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I took it straight to get gas. But I was like, why did you – I found whoever, whichever one it was. I was like, don't run it that low. Put some gas in it. I'll let you use the truck. Don't just bring it back to me where I'm going to run out before I get out of my neighborhood. Still parenting, you know, after all this time. All right, back to the text. That was my bad. Now I'm like Jay.
We're even.
So we we get into John, the end of John 14, and you see this, the lifestyle part can only be possible by the initial acceptance. And so I always thought about Jay's because he's sort of given them a vision of what's going to happen ahead. And you remember when he left, he told them to stay in Acts 1. He told them to stay in Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit that he talks about here for the first time to them is going to come. And when he comes, you need to be here because it's going to be happening. I mean, kind of gives them a little preview. And then, of course, we see that happen.
Yeah, one point we made when Zach was here that I think you don't need to miss is that he started off talking about in my Father's house, many rooms, I'm going to prepare a place. So everybody gets on this, oh, I'm going to church so I can go to heaven. But then just a few very short verses later, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And in verse 16, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, which we talked about. But then he makes this statement, to be with you forever. And our point was on that day, you wasn't here. Forever starts when you receive that Spirit.
Yep.
The journey, the house that is built, the room for you, that just happened.
Yep.
What he wants them to see is that they're never, you know, a lot of people say, well, I felt so lonely and I've been alone. And what he's trying to get them to see is you're never alone if you're walking with Jesus, ever.
Right.
So, but that's a hard concept for human beings to grasp. They think, well, I'm all out. I lost my husband. I lost one of my child. You just got to remember, you're never alone.
Right.
Well, right.
And I mean, not left as an orphan means he's there.
Well, right. And to finish my point, he then goes to verse 23 and says, so he says, I'm going to prepare a place. And he's like, well, how do we know the way? I am the way. I'm going to give you a counselor. He'll be with you. He uses the word forever. We throw that around like it's not, I'll love you forever. Really?
Yep.
You know, 10 minutes later, I'm mad.
Yeah.
But he really means forever. Right. So forever begins there. Then he says, if anyone loves me, which is what Phil's point was, he will obey my teaching. But then it says this, my Father will love him and we'll come to him and make our home with him.
Yep.
I mean, no, wait a minute. That's why I said forever starts through faith, granted. Yes, but forever starts. If you house the Holy Spirit of God, and here comes God, and Jesus says, we're going to make our home with you.
That's why he says, the Apostle Paul, he's a deposit guaranteeing what is to come.
How is that the section?
Dad and I are, you and I are on the wavelength today. I'm looking at this text. I was about to read it. Ephesians 1:13, what Dad just said. But I want to read you this because it's exactly what you said, Jase. Here's the way Paul put it. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to praise and glory.
And that's said multiple times, you know, 1 Peter 1, and now you've been born again, love enough. Well, you've received imperishable seed.
Exactly. So Jason, we got mostly me, but you guys know him. There's a guy, biggest LSU fan I've ever met, is a guy named Ron Mahmoudian, and he meets with us, and Ron
he's got an unusual name. Where's he from?
His mother is Turkish, and his dad is Iranian.
Hmm.
And when they came here, they came to Louisiana. He started at LSU when he was 15. Shows you how brilliant this guy. He's 15 years old. He started college.
Whoa.
By 20, he had a doctorate in biomechanical engineering.
Whew.
21. So
that's why he's got a name like that, Mahmoudian.
Ron Mahmoudian. Brilliant guy, but loves LSU. That's where he went. But he goes to every football game, most baseball games, and a lot of basketball games. And he lives up here.
Yeah.
Back and forth. Well, he found out he had a brain tumor just within the last 2 weeks. So he's in Baton Rouge, in the hospital. I can't even go see him. You know, we're really good friends because, you know, it's COVID. So I've been communicating with his kids. We called me last week. He's had that they took the tumor as much as they get out of it. And so he's kind of giving me updates. His voice is real weak, as you'd expect. And so all we talked about was heaven.
Yeah.
Because I thought, you know, I said, Ron, this may be it. You know, I said, I'm praying that the Almighty will heal you, but you got a rough one. You got a rough one, you know, you're going to have to deal with. So I didn't talk to him about that. I talked to him about heaven because ultimately we win.
Well, right.
I said, if God heals you, then that's good. We'll give him glory for that. But if he doesn't,
well, he's in.
It's forever. I mean,
when you gave his profile about all his accomplishments, I mean, the one thing that's more obvious than anything is he loves Jesus.
That's right.
But every time the doors open.
Oh yeah, he's
there. Yeah, you know, I've talked LSU with him so much.
Oh yeah,
and especially baseball because he's huge baseball, right. LSU baseball. But he loves Jesus. And that's the comfort we have. I mean, he's not experiencing anything that we're not all headed toward one day. And that's why when you
Which
read something
point,
like this,
right.
I'm like, if you're living that lifestyle, when they say, okay, you may die from this, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, nah. Yeah, I may.
That's
you,
right.
You may see my body, but nah.
That's right. That's why in everything we do, how many times has this been said in the book of John? God gets the glory. Why is this guy blind? God gets the glory. Why did this happen to this person? Why did Lazarus die? God gets the glory. All these things happen to glorify God. You notice they were hard, tough situations. So if you live this lifestyle, you're living like a winner. You're living like a winner while you're here, but more importantly, you're living like a winner because of the reward.
No doubt. And we take for granted, back to this familiarity thing, when God, through the Spirit, just said here, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I mean, we've all helped orphans. We know. I mean, what a sad thing.
Right.
Here you are. You got nobody to take care of you. You're in some home, and he's. When you understand that and have helped him, you realize that God realized life is tough without a visible creator, you know, over your shoulder whispering in your ear. It's okay. That's why when we read this stuff and we trust God, it becomes real to us. And then all of a sudden, it affects our life and the way we handle ourselves. And he was right all along. We're loved. We have hope. We have a purpose. All these things that people are trying to figure out the 10 steps to getting that. He's like, oh, I provided it there.
Oh,
boy,
yeah.
That's why it doesn't make any sense when you don't trust him enough to actually implement following his teaching. After all this he gives you and all this you're trusting, he's making his home with you, inside you.
Right.
And then you're like, no, I don't think you're real. I'm going to put, you know, toxic junk in the engine and see how that works.
Kerosene in the gas tank. Good discussion, man. That went fast.
It did.
It's over?
It's over.
It is over.
It is over. So next time we'll come into John 15, the vine and the branches, which we'll get back into our love. And some other good stuff coming ahead. Don't forget to register to vote, and don't forget to check out Jesus Politics. Love you guys. Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.